I was hoping to this year, but then I had to leave. I was actually. All right, let's start recording. All right, so 3, 2, 1. Well, thank you for joining us today at Miniature Wargaming Labs. This is a special pre-Adepticon meeting here. Right now, I have John with Echelon Studio Software's creator of Black Powder Red Earth. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, James. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. And so the reason I want you on is Adepticon is literally ticking down. You got like a wake up, and Adepticon will be here, and you are there. I am not.
That's correct.
So I
That is
had to leave
fact.
for a work trip a week early. So I was literally supposed to be passing through. I had it all planned out. I was gonna have the client pay for my room, spend the weekend there, get to go to Adepticon, and that all went to crap. So Brian's there, I'm not. But with you being at Adepticon, what are you bringing? What's new?
We're going to be premiering Spearhead, which is the last expansion to our game Black Powder Red Earth 28mm. It is the what we're calling the final expansion for the first edition. We don't plan to make any additional changes other than balance stuff if it rears its ugly head. But basically, this is the introduction of a new way to play the game and a campaign system that ties together the previous games with a new game. And then so our first game had a very fast campaign system, which was meant to represent multiple contiguous combat events during a single mission. The new game Spearhead actually is a series of battles that move back and forth along a fixed track of space. So if you were to imagine 5 or 6 of our maps in a row, starting in the center, you got 2 or 3 going to the left, 2 or 3 going to the right. And then you start in the center and basically you fight toward the opponent's defense, right? You fight toward their sort of last line of defense. And throughout that process, the entire game has we sort of track the effects of all the stuff that can happen in the game, from like chemical weapons, buildings getting knocked down. You have a limited number of certain units because like specialists essentially getting killed off. You don't get them back unless you achieve other objectives with, as you fight across the map. But the idea is that we're trying to capture the sort of complete annihilation of a city, like you would see in some like Ukraine has kind of been a really interesting war for us because Ukraine has unfolded very much how the gameplay in Black Powder Red Earth plays out, and with drones, mostly infantry, close combat. You're dealing with like a lot of urban fighting. We don't have trenches in our game, but it's really not that different. The sort of same rules apply. If you go out in the open, you're vulnerable to drones. You stay inside cover while you can, but like fighting in enclosed space is incredibly lethal and dangerous. So this game ties all of that together, but then adds like layers. So an example of something that's in the game, when you get to the enemy's sort of like last line of defense, their final defensive positions, enemy units that when they get hit with a mortal wound, they don't just die. They can basically, if they have grenade attributes, they can basically charge 8 to 12 inches, depending on what you roll, and basically explode, right? They can run right at the attackers and sort of a last charge. And we've seen a lot of things like that sort of desperate last moments of like people as like they've lost everything and there's nothing else to do, but because they're not going to surrender because they're not going to get taken prisoner. So basically, fighting to the death. And we've kind of like built that into every aspect of the new game, like that real gritty war of attrition. And yeah, that's what we're showing.
Yeah.
We'll be doing some demos of how to play and things like that for the core game. But BPRE has always been about like you learn the core mechanics, which are relatively simple. Like you learn the game system, that takes about 15 minutes, and then you can take that and apply it. Like the skill of the game is applying that to the actual missions.
You know, I
So
have to admit that.
that
So
hasn't changed.
when we I did the Nova Open last year, and I'm coming back. I've already bought my tickets for this year, so I'm hoping to see you there. But you did that one
Oh, we're
campaign.
there.
Oh, you're there? Okay, good. I just you're on the list on like the map, but I haven't seen tickets for any of your events on the
Yeah, I don't know how well organized they are in terms of like, I mean, we couldn't even edit, like when we wanted to do stuff to our event, when we wanted to add stuff to the description, I couldn't just do that myself. I literally had to email somebody at Adepticon to make those adjustments. So I think these events are going through growing pains in terms of how they manage events and trying to figure out
Okay.
like better systems. So, I mean, I know we asked for an event. We asked for an event at the same time we were doing last year. We might do, I mean, you know, we do the demo events all day long. So by the time we get to the end of the day, it's you need a little bit of a break.
Well,
But
I think that was the Nova Open. Like, you actually planned to do an event there, but it actually just turned out to be people bought tickets for you to do a large demo game, which is what you were doing all day anyway. But I know
yes.
the person I was playing with, I mean, we were throwing chemical weapons and suicide UAVs at each other. So we barely actually survived enough to get into contact to kill each other. And he's like, I don't know if I'd like that. It's like, this is pretty accurate. Like, when you start throwing mustard gas around, not many people make it that far forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the kind of thing where like we did some events with your hobby place earlier this year to demo the new game, and you know, most of the people who play the game and like the game are people who have some kind of military background. Like, you know, we had the event, and they sold 2 or 3 boxes at the event, which was cool, but it was all like people from like different military branches, or like we had a guy from the Canadian military was there. He picked up a set of stuff. You know, we had some Marines come out. But that the fan base for our game is overwhelmingly people with like a professional resume because they understand and appreciate how unforgiving the fighting is,
I mean,
especially at the ranges
that's a
that we
good way to
play to.
forget that. That's a good way to put it, because I know I get asked a lot the difference between like in country and Black Powder Red Earth, and I said it's the difference between bolt action and chain of command. You know, it's are you trying to play a game, and both of you capture like different flavors, but your game captures like brutality. Like, when you bring
Yeah.
certain things into play, it is just not, you're not going to make it out. It's just unforgiving. And there's not a lot of back and forth. It's like you're going to grind against each other.
Yeah, I mean we've had games where like we changed one of the machine gun rules recently. I don't know if you saw that. It was updated in Spearhead. And that's allowed people to that was one of the biggest rule changes we've had since we launched the game almost 3 years ago. And or I guess 2 years ago, and that allowed you to set up a more realistic base of fire with your weapons. But like the fact of the matter is, most people don't know what base of fire is because they play Warhammer. I mean, I've never played in country. I've never played bolt action, believe it or not, and I've never played Chain of Command. I've never tried any of those games.
Okay.
Not, I mean, well, not for lack of interest, but like. They're kind of not, they're not my forte. Like I really like a tactical game, and those games when I looked at the rules for bolt action once, and I was going through it, and I'm like, okay, this really feels like there's a lot of artifice in this game that makes it like, and the abstractions that they've chosen to make in that game made it extremely difficult for somebody like me to kind of like, I have to forget a bunch of stuff that I know to play a game like that. And that's not what I'm looking for in a game, right? Like I'm looking for something that's really compelling, but is also very intuitive, right? Like, I mean, that's the reason so many people love first person shooters, because they're just very intuitive. And when I'm playing games and I have to start rolling a lot of dice for things that don't seem to make any sense to me, I don't know, like the it's just not what I'm looking for, right? Like I really enjoyed Necromunda, but I played my own version of Necromunda. Like I didn't play the GW version of Necromunda. We stripped out a lot of the save rolls. We made it way more lethal, way more violent. I mean, I could say the same thing about like Shadow of Armageddon, which was my return to, I think I've talked about this, it was my big comeback to miniature wargaming after not playing since basically Space Hulk Second Edition. And you know, I liked the game, but it was just, there was too much, you know, too much of like people basically doing things that were essentially impossible to do. Like, they didn't make any sense. You would never do this if you were actually fighting with people. And I just couldn't get past that level of, I couldn't suspend my disbelief to make that work. You know, I mean, I'm not a World War II expert, strict to the imagination, but infantry stuff hasn't really changed much from basic fire flying, right? Like, that's everything. So when people are playing like BPRE, the people who are good, I watch them try to like set base of fire and flank. They're always trying to suppress the opponents. They're, you know, again, it's like the fundamentals of anything, right? Like, fundamentals of shooting are simple. The fundamentals of maneuver warfare are simple. Executing them correctly is what's difficult, and especially executing them in the face of an opponent that understands what you are trying to do and is you know, determined to stop you, right? We always think about that, like, in my background doing like the military training stuff. Like, we always talk about opposed versus runs against paper, because paper doesn't shoot you back, right? Like you get feedback when you do something stupid in real life, like when you're training. good training lets you know you've made a mistake. And while BPRE is not necessarily a training, it's not a literal simulation. There'd be no way to literally simulate actual infantry combat. It's as close to the sort of ferocity and fast decision making that's required in this kind of environment. We've been getting more and more pro end users playing our game, which is kind of cool. But we actually had not to go on a marketing rant here, but we've had a sort of bloom of interest of our game in Japan. Which is interesting, because 28 millimeter gaming models are cool, but gaming is not big in Japan. And there's suddenly a movement in Japan to start playing these kind of games. We just sold like 25 boxes to Japan the other day, and it was like, where'd that come from? Yeah, no, it's cool, right? Like, it's BPRE has always been different than everything else, not necessarily by design, but just by like sort of what informs our gameplay, right? You were at Nova. Did you see the game designer panel at all or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you kind of got what I was going for there, which was, hey, I'm looking for a system that works together. I'm not looking for just like one or two features. Like, a watch is only useful if it tells time. And if just one hand moves elegantly, that's not good enough. You know? So Spearhead is like, I mean, it is supposed to be unforgiving, because like, if you make bad decisions, you get your people killed really fast. And especially when you're dealing with capable people.
So I'm ordering Spearhead. I haven't gotten it yet because I'm traveling, so I'll miss the package. But at Nova, we played up to the last one. And so that's something the game captures, is that idea of like, I need maneuver elements, I need base of fire. And unlike 40K, my leader or my captain can't lead the charge. So my Hongbin guy's like, I'm not bringing him out. He can summon the UAVs. Like, I need him in the back. He can't get shot.
Yeah. No, I mean, more like chess, right? Like, your queen is your most powerful piece, but you don't like casually maneuver her over the board so she can get stomped and like, you know, like you getting caught in a fork or something like that, right? Yeah. Like, that's rookie mistake stuff, right? Like, you use your rooks to control lanes, you use your bishops to control lanes, and then you use your knights to sort of leapfrog over your forward infantry troops to basically deliver artillery fire onto opponents.
Yeah, I think that's something I learned really quickly, is the little Albari guys. You're going through the door first.
Oh, yeah. And if you synergize with the cards, they can be incredibly lethal, right? Like, one of the cooler things, we have some players overseas in England, and they were the first ones to figure this out, but they played the Hellas for Heroes card. They were fighting a CTS team that was held up in a pretty good defensive position, and they threw a frag through the window, and they thought, no problem, this is easy, right? Well, what ended up happening? the opponent unit he burned out a couple of the activations of the guys guarding the door. He ran a Sherta in, played Hellas for Heroes. The Sherta picked up the grenade, ran into the next room, and like was perfectly positioned, and then basically got shot in the next doorway. The blast killed all five of the CTS defenders in one shot. And Hellas for Heroes, if you've never seen the film, when it ends, Steve Queen's character, who they're like, it's an American GI, is assaulting this like fortified position, and basically in the last moments of the movie, he gets shot after attempting to put a satchel into a bunker. And essentially, you know, with what he's got left, he musters, getting back up, picks up the satchel, and basically dives into the port of the bunker and explodes, like takes the bunker out. And that was the whole idea of that card, where if you play it just right at the right time, suddenly units that are not necessarily a threat become an incredible threat. And they can do tremendous damage to an opponent if you've made mistakes, if you're not like actually set up with your activations to prevent like an opponent from doing these things. Because once that guy got in the room, it was kind of over for at least the first two guys who were in there, because even if he got shot, the grenade would drop and it would explode immediately, killing both of them. They wouldn't have the time to maneuver out of the room. It didn't matter, like, even immediate activation or not, like, even if they killed the guy, the bomb drops and they're boom, gone, right? Because like having a grenade explode in a room with you is terrible.
That's literally what it was designed for.
Right, like, exactly. And that's, I think that's always been the biggest difference between our game. You know, we talked at one point about the idea of adding role play elements to a game like this, but I mean, I'm not sure if we could ever really get the flavor right, because the kind that, like, what happens to you as a person when you fight in this kind of warfare, it's not like an adventure, right? you're seriously, you're like, you're suffering all kinds of like emotional and physical injury constantly. And, you know, you're never the same if you survive it. I mean,
I'll be honest, if you want a realistic war game, after bringing that environment, I think I figured it out. Like, after a certain number of days, you just never hear from those people again. Like, they're alive, they're back in country. They just don't mix with people anymore. So I actually saw, is it true I saw your game being played at Carlisle Barracks?
Yes.
That's fascinating. Can you
I
talk
mean,
a little bit
we're
about why?
actually,
yeah, the war college there?
Yeah, we are, I think we're scheduled to do a presentation, another presentation at the War College soon, the Army one. And we're also talking to another branch of the service right now about adaptation for training of junior NCOs.
Yeah, you know what? I think that for like corporal to staff sergeant, that I think that'd be an excellent sandbox game for that.
I agree. I mean, that's what it was made for. So it's like, it's very interesting that the audience that we based a lot of the gameplay on are ones that are most attracted to it.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Will you be at Historicon?
And yes, is to be at Historicon as of right now. We should be there. And where else are we going to be? We're basically doing Historicon Nova and going to try to keep doing Adepticon. Adepticon is a little bit of a lift for us, but it's doable. We were thinking about doing the Las Vegas Open at one point, but it's a really long drive to get there, and like flying there with all the stuff is pretty expensive.
Yeah, I can understand that. So let me ask you, since Adepticon's coming up, anyone who's listened to this, how do they find you at Adepticon 2024?
We have an event in, I think, the Schaumburg Ballroom. That's on the Adepticon website. If there are tickets available, you can sign up. If there are not, just come out anyway. We had that happen last year where we had some people who paid didn't show up, and then we just basically ran the thing. It ended up being a mix of gameplay and how to play demos, because people who are coming to the event, just like you experienced at Nova, some people already know how to play the game. And then there's a lot of people who have just heard about the game and they want to get an in-person demo. And you know, then we pair them off with some other people who are new and let them get some games in, and then we can, you know, give them like advice on rules in terms of like, oh, this is exactly what we mean, blah blah blah. But I mean, honestly, the rules are pretty clear and linear. So I mean, we finally published an errata on our website, and I think it's got like six things on it. You know, there hasn't been a lot of questions that have come up about the game consistently. So, I mean, I guess that's one of the charms of the game, right? Like, once you sit down and you get those basic mechanics down, it's like, okay, now it's all player skill building. The rest of it, once you get good, you're good. You know, you've seen how fast the game can play.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of like one of those games. The core mechanics from the book, that's, you'll pick up quickly. It's using the card. that's where you spend a lot of your time, is like in those specialty cards, and adapting to the environment with some of the environmental cards. That's what offers like the variability. So like you have your basic rules, but like the way you do the scenarios and the interplay of the cards, that's where a lot of the variety comes in. Because I don't think you really, I don't think I've run into like hitting the same combination each time.
I mean, there's a decent amount of variety, and in Spearhead, we have 9 Spearhead maps included. We have 4 new raid maps included that utilize the multi-story structures from Phaseline, and then we have 3, I believe it's 3 or 2, I think it's 3 Phaseline maps. So you're getting like 17 maps or 16 maps to include stuff that you already, assuming you have the previous games, you have a lot of other new missions that you can play and integrate into the game system. So, I mean, combination wise, I mean, I know people who don't even play with the cards at all because they think they're too gamey. I love the cards. I think the cards introduce a lot of interesting moments that, like, you have, again, a good squad leader is going to be able to prepare. Maybe not, you can't account for everything, but he's going to be set up so that, like, if he loses people, he's minimizing his losses, right? And that's kind of an important thing in this game because, as you have experienced, the game really doesn't give a damn about how you feel about losing all your boys.
Well, I think when I my favorite part is when I hit that tripwire and I flipped the card and it was like chemical weapons attack. Do you want to use it? Like, hey, first time running into that card, let's try it out. Half of everything
Oh,
just
the
left the
chlorine
board.
gas.
Yeah, the chlorine gas, just half of everything just left. You go figure by figure and like, well, they're all gone. Chlorine gas got them. Like, well, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, well, and there's nastier chemical agents in Spearhead. Like there's as you're because as you're playing the game, we have something called degradation cards, which reflect the fact that you're fighting over the same terrain, grinding down all the buildings, and like you're getting like effects like you might get hit with chlorine gas, and you might get a wind that pushes the chlorine gas out of the map, but you also might get hit with like sarin gas, or you might get hit with hypersonic missiles right at the beginning of the level. That's happened in some of the play. I mean, we have hypersonic missiles that will come in and basically they can hit structures. And if they hit structures, you roll to see if the structures collapse. And if they collapse, well, those buildings are out of play now. They're just waist-high cover and perfect places to set up machine guns. But because Spearhead allows, because of how you can defend, and like, because there's in Spearhead, there you have primary and secondary objectives in certain missions. Because of how those are dispersed on the map, you can literally. We had a map where one of the other designers, he Mike, he had set up some machine guns in a rooftop position, thinking, okay, hypersonic missiles have flattened 2 of the 4 buildings between me and where I was going to be spawning at the objective. But so he had that whole lane of fire control. But unfortunately for him, forgot that you could spawn on the opponent's edge. Any edge that wasn't the next adjacent to the objective. And so I literally spawned in the house behind all of his guys, and then the direct fire phase, I basically shot every one of them in the back.
So that, and that's what you play for those moments right there. But John, as we wrap up this special episode there, looking forward to getting my package of Spearhead, and I hope everyone stops by the demo booth in the game at Adepticon. And for everyone listening, Black Powder Red Earth, go check Google that and you'll find John's website, Echelon Software, and we went over the convention schedule. Go out and find the game. John, thanks for joining us. Are you there?
James, did I lose you again? Oh God, I thought I lost you again. I was like, God damn it!
Well, I think I got a good enough sign off. I don't think